Hello, everybody. This is Alan Fine. I'm here with Brad Tolkien, who's the co-president and CEO of World Travel Holdings, the parent company of Cruises Inc., Cruise One, Dream Vacation, among other companies. And we'll talk about those and much more on Insider Travel Report. So, Brad, welcome.
Thank
and as
you,
we
Alan.
To all our guests, we say, how are you and where are you? Last time you were over government cut in Miami, but you're now in the office?
I am in, so WGH has a large office in Fort Lauderdale, and that is our only office in the state of Florida. And about 10 days ago, I drove from New York down to Miami with my wife and two dogs, and we have settled in our apartment, which does overlook government cut. The last time we spoke, the country was on more of a shutdown, and now I'm happy to report that I am back in the office. And so I'm in the Fort Lauderdale office today, and next week actually will be my first flight since March, and I will be heading up to Massachusetts to be in our Boston office where we have a series of meetings. From an employee standpoint, right now we are still in 100% volunteer basis if they want to come into the office. And, you know, we are not in a rush to change that at the moment. So, but more and more people we see on a weekly basis coming into the office.
That's good. Well, let me set the stage for this. The last time we spoke was in April, and back then you had said, and it's a horrible irony, that the coronavirus had taken more people than the Vietnam War. Back then you said that airlines were at 5% capacity, hotels were at 10%, and we're seeing a change. At that time, no cruise ships in the world were going anywhere, and now we have Europe to watch with the MSC and Costa Cruises, to name a few. Plus cruising, we said in that last call, and it's true, it's the cleanest place you can go. It's a great, safe way to travel. But, of course, they report illnesses, and so my question is, when planes and hotels don't report them, is that why the CDC is so on the case of the cruise lines?
So I don't know why the CDC is so focused on the cruise lines as opposed to any other industry. It's not only in the travel business. I just can't think of an industry right now that I read about where the CDC is regulating the industry as they are the cruise industry. The CDC offers guidelines for many, many industries, but not regulations. So I don't know why the CDC has chosen cruising. Clearly, the cruise industry was front and center at the end of January and beginning of February when COVID-19 started to break out across the world. And but I can't answer that question. I'm frankly happy they're not focused on hotels, airlines, and car services. I'm in the travel business, and I'm really happy that it's, I'm not happy that it's, that cruise is a focus or cruise is the only industry, but I'm happy it's not extending to other industries, especially in travel.
Why do you think that with all the strict protocols set up already by the cruise lines, and with those European cruise lines running smoothly, why do you think Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, wanted to extend the cruising pause past the voluntary October 31st date and like all the way out to February? So, I mean, I'm glad that hasn't happened, but why do you think?
So, Alan, I really have no clue, and I have to be candid with you. I was shocked. We had internally predicted, because we had no information, we had internally predicted that the CDC would come out with an extension of the pause with an announcement that it would end on this date, probably coinciding with the voluntary pause of cruises, maybe taking it a little bit further to mid-November. And that extension would then be qualified and cruising would be allowed to resume under the following mandated protocols. That's what we would have thought would happen. And it was heavily influenced, that thought, by the fact that we are almost flawlessly operating cruises in Europe on mega ships. And as of last week, we've had, between Costa and MSC, we've had 14 flawless sailings. And on top of that, of course, we had the healthy sales panel, sail panel rather, that submitted, you know, hundreds of pages of what the cruise industry is going to do. And so, frankly, we were shocked and we are thrilled, and this is not a political statement, we're thrilled the White House stepped in. And we are looking forward to the meeting tomorrow between the cruise industry, CLIA, and I think both the CDC and the White House. We want to work with the CDC, but we were shocked by the just recommended extension to February 1, actually, was their recommendation. Just so,
as of this morning, the CDC website does state the website updated to October 31st.
Correct. And it, you know, October 31, well, that's the deadline right now. We will go beyond October 31, primarily because it takes about 30 days to crew a ship, because employees are all in different places around the world. And so when we have a definitive start date, you can start a clock of around 30 days to do it correctly. And so it's not going to happen on November 1. And, you know, Carnival today came out with an announcement.
I was going to ask you, what do you think's going on there?
So they've canceled every cruise except for cruises that are departing from Miami and I think it was Port Canaveral or maybe Port Everglades. So they have not canceled those cruises. So they've canceled all other November and December cruises other than from two ports. One is definitely Miami and I forget if it was Port Canaveral or Port Everglades, but they are hoping to operate, but they're being realistic. It's and they have always been realistic, Carnival and the rest of the cruise industry, that this is going to be a phased in approach. And so right now they are leaving up for sale the November and December itineraries, which I will predict will change. I don't think the itineraries as listed, meaning we might sail in November and December, but the itineraries as listed will change because of different governmental regulations. I personally, again, this has nothing to do with conversations that I've had with a particular cruise line. I personally believe the phase-in will start with just trips to the private island. And why is that? It's because... I'm sorry?
It's very easy to control.
It's that same bubble atmosphere that we've heard so often, whether we're talking about the NBA or other establishments. They're just creating a bubble environment. And so these private islands are staffed 100% by employees of the cruise lines. And they range from employees of 50 to, let's say, 200 employees, depending upon the private island. And so everyone will be tested, as you know, clearly before they get to the island, when they get to the island. Everyone's going to be tested before they get onto the cruise ship. So we've created this bubble. And it's this bubble that has been so effective in Europe sailings.
Also in Abu Dhabi with Fight Island. Are you aware of the fights and the sporting events that they do? They create an athletic bubble?
Correct. And so that has been successful, and that's the way I think the cruise industry is going to restart in North America, in a phased-in approach. And so any cruise line that is going to start is going to start with limited itineraries and limited ships. And so and from limited ports. And so they've chosen two ports, Carnival, and they've chosen ships in those ports. And having been in my apartment here in Miami Beach at Government Cut, I see ships going back and forth. And when we do speak to the cruise lines, these are the ships that initially, whenever cruising restarts, that they will restart. So the ships themselves, the physical ships, are in fairly close proximity to where they're going to start.
I know that we talked last time about a couple of your holdings. One was cruiseline.com, and I want to bring it up because we know at Insider Travel Report, the visitors, the viewership has skyrocketed because, you know, our mission is to spread information and to help the travel advisors. And you were mentioning that cruiseline.com was doing pretty well, even though sponsorship was down. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Sure. Well, cruiseline.com, it's a review site, a news site. It's a social media site. In addition to that, the viewership also receives the best independent app in the cruise industry in Shipmate. After the cruise line apps themselves, which are downloaded by passengers traveling, it's the number one downloaded cruise app on both Android and Apple. And we're just seeing a lot of activity on both cruiseline.com and Shipmate. A lot of the activity is around the social media boards. And one of the most popular product chats right now is the controlled shore excursions. Because remember, most of the people that have downloaded this app, they are cruisers. And they're passionate cruisers, which is a great thing. And so we have a lot of passionate conversation taking place on these chat boards. And as I said, there's several prevalent topics, but one is the controlled shore excursions, which is a great thing, by the way, initially. I'm fully supportive of it. Long-term...
They must have been really, really expressive about that MSC moment where someone broke the bubble on a shore excursion.
They were. There was a lot of chat about that. And I take my hat off to MSC. They did the right thing. Those particular passengers, at least I obviously wasn't there, they begged to be tested again, but MSC did not allow for that because if they did, then anyone who would violate would then say, let me be tested. And it set the tone immediately. It happened on the very first cruise, which departed Genoa on August 16th. And so it was phenomenal, really phenomenal the way they handled it, which is, again, such a supporting fact for the CDC to look at. This is what the industry is doing. This is why we have had just about a flawless experience in cruising. And even the TUI ship, where 12 crew members initially tested positive out of hundreds of crew members that were tested, by the way, that day. It wasn't that they randomly tested 12 and only 12 tested positive. They were surprised by the test results, and those crew members were then given three independent tests, so three different tests from three different labs, and each one of those tests for each of those 12 crew members came back negative. So they had false positives on the other test. So it's just...
Uncruise didn't have that advantage. Remember, they tried to... On the west coast of the United States, they tried to run it, and someone came up positive, and they didn't have retests. And
so correct. Listen, I read a story in one of the trade papers about a family that went to Antigua, and upon arrival, one or two of the family members were tested positive. Antigua's policy at the moment, this was several months ago, was that the passengers would have to quarantine and go back to their original destination or original point of embarkation. Those people happened to have been from the United States. They got back to the United States. They were tested immediately upon landing, and each one of them tested negative. This is going to happen.
The moral of the story is keep testing.
And Alan, I just want to add, even though I keep using the word flawless, we know as we continue to open up cruising that there will be positive cases. But we are, as an industry, so well equipped to handle it. The ships themselves are going to have many, many cabins available for quarantining. Mm-hmm. The ships themselves all have hospitals, medical facilities. They're staffing with more doctors. There's just, again, going back to our conversation in April, there's just nothing like it for the consumer to be protected. But let's be real. This is a very viral virus, and there are going to be some incidents of positive COVID cases.
It really is about how you handle it, not that it shouldn't happen.
Correct.
And I would rather be on a cruise ship than in a hotel when it happens, for example.
Correct. And we saw this in Major League Baseball. We're now seeing it this week in the National Football League. There are incidents. They're handling it. The games go on.
Are you seeing signs of the turnaround? I know business travel's still down, but leisure's coming back, right?
So we are seeing signs of the turnaround. First, let me just cite a statistic about airline travel. Typically, we average in the United States 2.5 million people traveling on an airline per day. Back in April, when you and I spoke, at the low point, it got to 90,000. Now we're averaging roughly 1 million people a day. So it's still down significantly. But if you just look at airline travel as a proxy, regardless of if it's a leisure trip, a business trip, a family trip, whatever it might be, that is just a great metric for we are on the road to recovery. At WTH, we have just come off the best. It's a rolling 7 days. I said this 2 days ago. I was on some other conversation. We have the best 7 days that we've had since March 13th. And we had another great day yesterday. We are seeing phenomenal signs.
These are new cruises. These are not,
future cruise credits.
They're not future, right.
So it's to say then not future cruise credits would be irresponsible. But back in May and June and July, greater than 50% of what we were booking were future cruise credits. Now it's significantly less than 50% because most of those people either are still sitting on the fence with their future cruise credit or they booked it already, which is really what helped our bookings back in May, June, July. But since August 1st, because less and less people were on the books for a future cruise credit, when we look at, let's say, Carnival's announcement this morning where they're canceling November and December sailings. And if you look at the percentage, and I have no idea of what their percentage is, but if I look at our percentage of business we have on the books for November, December departures versus what we had on the books for May, June, and July, mm-hmm. it's in a completely different ballpark. Mm-hmm. And so less people, less FCCs, the fact that we are having the best days since the pandemic started, or since the cruise pandemic started, March 13th, when we stopped sailing, and the fact that it's far less than 50% are future cruise credits is just another great indication that business is turning. The resumption of cruising in Europe has put a spark into our organization. Mm-hmm. And about mid-August, we started sitting down because we knew it was going to start. We didn't know how successful it was going to be. And we think it's very successful. And we went from a defensive posture to an offensive posture. It was all starting to talk about the future, about marketing, about bringing back employees, about repatriating compensation for people that are working with us today, but not at full salary. And we put in phase one of that, and starting the day after Labor Day, and today is another day, people who were working, not everyone, but people who were working for the company, but we're taking a salary cut. We phased them in over two dates. We called a lot of people back. There's still many employees that we have not called back. We actually have a campaign taking place right now. It's been taking place for 2 weeks where we are communicating with every one of those furloughed employees just to check on their status, to give them an update about where WTH is, and that we hope to call them soon based upon the continued improvement. So the first, other than the people that we've already called back, we're communicating with all the other furloughed employees, okay, or as many as possible, depending upon their area of where they work in the organization, because we need to check on their status. You know, some, maybe some of them are working, and we understand that. But we are trying to ready the company for the next phase.
Let me ask you about Dream Vacations, Cruise One, Cruises, Inc. I know that they all worked very hard to make sure that the travel advisors were supported through this time. What percentage of them received government support? Was that something that helped?
So I don't know the exact percentage off the top of my head. I can tell you that if someone was having a problem, we helped them out, and we've heard success stories with them getting the PPP loan. But I don't know the answer to your question. I can tell you that it's an extremely low percentage of franchisees that are still not with us. Very, very low. People are hanging on. People have bookings. In the cruise industry, you just have to commend the cruise industry because they compensated the travel community on sailings that did not depart for no fault of their own. And so that helped a lot of agencies out. And so we, it's a very low percentage of people or entities, I should say, that are no longer in the, with the organization. Right. I also want to say, because you talked about our Dream Vacations and Cruise One and Cruises Inc. business, that we saw this after, in my other travel companies, after September 11th, 2001. And we saw it in the spring of 2020. Because we have this window into so many distribution channels because of the makeup of WTH, that our travel advisor business, our Cruise One Dream Vacations and Cruises Inc. business model outperformed on a percentage basis our direct-to-consumer businesses. The customer was screaming out for that relationship, for that console, for that advice. And we saw this, as I said, I've been in this travel business now 41 years, solely in leisure. We saw this take place after the tragedy of September 11, 2001. And we saw it again, and we continue to see it after the great tragedy of this pandemic in 2020. And so that just validates the future of this particular business line and the future of the travel advisor community.
I'm really, really glad that I was going to ask you about that, whether travel advisors are sticking to it and staying aboard, and that's good. Do you think there'll be another round of relief coming from the government?
I have no clue. And, you know, for World Travel Holdings, there were many companies, not in the travel business, outside of the travel business, that got the PPP loan, which was not a loan, it was a grant. It was forgiven for the most part because the metric that they fell under was the 500 employees, even though they were a lot larger businesses, public companies would access the capital markets. Unfortunately for us, we were well above the metric of 500 employees, which was a line in the sand for the government, regardless of what industry you were in, regardless of the need for it. And so it's been the shareholders of WTH, and this company is 100% owned by the people who work here, that have been supporting the company. And this validates our belief.
In closing, I would love you to tell us an uplifting bedtime story like you did last time, which was, you said that the decade after some terrible crisis happens, what occurs?
So the the decade after a crisis has always been a tremendous decade for leisure travel. That's the only part of the travel business I have been in. We spoke back in April, in the very early stages of this pandemic. And you referenced at the beginning of this conversation that I talked about that we will lose more people by the end of April than we did in the Vietnam War. And now the tragedy is above 200,000 people. And we've been on some sort of lockdown, whether it's not a total lockdown, some sort of lockdown now for 7 months. This will be, without a doubt, the greatest buildup of demand for leisure travel in my 62 years on this earth. Without a doubt, we are getting closer and closer. I can tell you, as an organization, I said it before, we went from defensive to offensive. We feel it and we sense it and we know it. And that's why we are hiring again. We're repatriating salaries. We just know it.
Well, as you said, the decade after for a lot of industries.
Correct.
A boom decade.
Correct. So thanks, Alan.
Thank you for talking to us.
Very good. Stay healthy.
This is Alan Fine for Insider Travel Report.